Hebrews chapter 11. Well, we're here at the threshold of 2021. And none of us knows what is going to happen this year. It could and probably will get crazier than 2020. I just came back from the land of the lemmings. Do you realize there are bonkers out there? And looking ahead and looking what's going on in our society can be kind of scary. We've gone through some crazy things this past year and some pretty scary things, especially in the past few months. And I think 2021 will probably be a continuation of the unraveling of the life and security that we knew in the past. I think anyone who thinks that life is going to return to what it was in 2019 is going to be sadly mistaken. All of this shouldn't surprise us, should it? Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, but understand in the last times difficulty is going to arise. And it goes on in the subsequent verses to say that men are going to become lovers of themselves. They're going to love money. They're going to be arrogant. And on it goes, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. And then in verse 13 of that chapter, it says evil people and imposters are going to get worse and worse. They're going to go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And as believers, we sure shouldn't be naive enough to think that we are going to be immune to the effects of our society life like this. Just in the past week, a high-profile attorney from PBS made this statement. Maybe you heard about it. He said that our children should be taken from our homes and put into re-education camps. And then one of our elected representatives to Congress postulated that we need to find a way to control what's disseminated by the press. Statements like those have a familiar echo down through the halls of history, don't they? But as believers, the question is, how are we going to handle all this? How do we prepare ourselves for whatever 2021 throws at us? And I want to address that today, considering the life of a godly man who is, as you've figured out by now, one of the inductees in this Hall of Faith, chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, as we continue our study through here. And even though he doesn't take up very much space in the pages of Scripture, Enoch's example of faithfulness towers above the times and circumstances in which he lived. In fact, we're going to see in just a few minutes that even though he is the seventh from Adam, that puts him way back in antiquity in the book of Genesis, he preaches about the return of Jesus Christ. Amazing. So, look with me at verse 5. Let's refresh ourselves. Let's go to the top of the chapter. Chapter 11, verse 1. We're talking about faith. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. But by faith Abel offered God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith he died. Though he died, he still speaks. And here, verse 5, our text for today, actually verses 5 and 6. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. There's that word commended again. We saw it in verse 2 and we saw it twice in verse 4. And in previous studies, I told you that that word means to testify to something, to be a witness to something. Actually, the word means martyr. The Greek word is martyreo. We get martyr from it. And that's why we're going to visit it again when we get to chapter 12. And it says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, testimonies, examples of faith that are there for us to follow. So Enoch was taken up so they shouldn't see death. The only other one was, starts with E and rhymes with Elijah. Okay. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, therefore, he was taken. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. You know, Enoch is only mentioned briefly three places in Scripture, so he doesn't get a lot of ink in Scripture, but there's a great deal that's said about him in the Apocrypha and the Pseudepigrapha. We might get to that a little bit later. And these recipients, these Hebrews, may or may not have known about that. But what they did know about Enoch from Scripture is found in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, where it says this. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God. After he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch had his own private rapture. In fact, we're told three things that can be applied to Enoch here in verses 5 and 6. The first was just that. God took him out. He had his own private rapture. The second thing is that he had this incredible testimony, as we said. He was commended by God. The third thing is this verse 6, kind of a postscript on the life of Enoch. It says, and without faith it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. We've talked about this verse in the past, which means must believe he exists as he says he does. He is who he says he is. And that he rewards those who seek him. And that certainly categorized Enoch. But back to our question. How are we going to face the challenges presented to us in 2021, as our world gets crazier and crazier? Let me illustrate it like this. How many know what this is? It's a knife, isn't it? This was a gift to me, specially handcrafted, handmade by Davey in the back. The blade was made out of, what'd you say? A ball bearing. The handle is caribou antlers. There's a copper rod running through this, and right here there's a casing of a 41 Magnum pistol. I have a 41 Magnum at home. It's beautiful, isn't it? You're going, where's he going with this? Tell you the truth, I'm not sure yet. Actually, while I was outside, one of the things that we did that we got into, just like everybody else at the holiday season, after we got done in the evenings, we played the games, we ate the food, we sat around, we ended up watching this TV show on the History Channel called Forged in Fire. Have you seen it? It's awesome. These guys are absolutely amazing. Not quite as amazing as Davey, but they're absolutely amazing. They bring in blacksmiths from all over, four of them. And these blacksmiths walk into the shop. There's a panel of three judges up front. And they are about to take a challenge, and they have no idea what it's going to be. So they step up, and they walk in, and there's four anvils there, and each has a towel over the top, and there's another table, and the towel is, or another towel over something else there. And their challenge is to take whatever's under the towel and make whatever's under the other towel. So, when they get out there, the moderator says, okay, lift your towels. Well, actually, he lifts the towel up front first, and there's an example up front. It could be a knife. It could be a sword. Usually, it's a knife, though. And he says to these bladesmiths, your challenge is to reproduce one of these with the materials we're providing for you. And then they lift the towel over their anvil, and there's a lump of metal there. Sometimes. Sometimes there's ball bearings. Sometimes there's just hunks of stuff. Sometimes they have to harvest the metal from other things. One time they gave him an old snow machine. Said, you need to cut parts off of there and get your metal and melt it down from there. One time they were kids' toys. It's just fun to watch. And here's what you're going to make. You're going to make a knife. It's got to meet certain specifications. It's got to be so long and so wide and so sharp. And after you make it, you're going to present it to the judges and they're going to test it. And so they accept this challenge. And then they find out they only have 3 hours to do it. The moderator says, you have 3 hours to construct your blade. At the end of 3 hours, you have to present your weapon, and you'll be judged, and somebody gets kicked out and goes home, and the rest of you then will have to construct a handle for that blade. I'm sure they don't give them caribou antlers, but they do give them lots of other stuff and lots of other options, and they say, you only have 2 hours to finish your handle, sharpen and polish your blade, and then you present it to the judges, and then we're going to put it through some incredibly rigorous tests. We're going to stab stuff and beat on stuff and break stuff. It's pretty fun to watch if you're a guy especially. Okay? So, the moderator says, this is your task. Your 3 hours starts now. And they go running to their own individual forges and they take these lumps of metal or bars or ball bearings or whatever they have, and they go each to their own forge. And they put it in the fire, and they forge it, and they forge it, and they bring it out, and it's red hot, and they beat on it, and they start to form it, and for 3 hours straight, they work nonstop. At the end of that 3 hours, they stand by their anvils again, and the moderator says, bladesmiths, present your blades. And one by one, they come up with their blade and lay it before the judges and are judged. And somebody else goes home. And then they say, you have 2 hours now to construct your handle. And your 2 hour time frame starts now. And they go running back and they start working on their handles. And they come back looking, I mean, they have some pretty impressive stuff. I'm amazed at what they can do. I bet this took you longer than 3 hours, right, Dave? He said yes. They aren't this good looking either, by the way, the knives they produce. But so they come back, the handles are together, and they're standing behind their anvils, and the moderator says once again, bladesmiths, present your blades. And so they step up individually to the judges, and their blades are adjudicated, and they are put through the tests, and then one more goes home. And then there are only two whose blades make the cut. And then they are given another monumental task. They say, now, you two that are remaining, you are going to go home and create your own iconic weapon from history. And they whip back another towel, and underneath it is a famous sword or spear or knife, something General Washington carried or something. It's right there. And they say, your task is to go home at your own home forge and in 4 days reproduce this and bring it back here and we'll test your work. And they do, and what they make is amazing, what those guys can do in a forge. And so they come back after 4 days, and they are tested. There's a sharpness test and a toughness test and all kinds of tests, and at the end, there's one winner. You're wondering where I'm going with this, aren't you? Well, the correlation is this. We're like those blacksmiths, those bladesmiths. Looking down the calendar, down the road, we don't know what's under the towels, do we? We don't know what lies ahead. We don't know some of the things we're going to have to deal with and some of the things we're going to have to work with. And so we're responsible. Our goal is to meet these challenges and forge our faith into weapons that can be used against the enemy. To forge our faith, use what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the fact that our weapons aren't weapons of the flesh. In fact, Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 says this, do not present your members as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. And that word instruments could be translated weapons. So our responsibility as believers is to forge our faith into a weapon or an instrument that can defeat our enemy, that can overcome our circumstances, our temptations, the challenges we're going to face in 2021 and beyond. That's our goal, to have our faith forged into something like that. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to meet those challenges ahead? I'm going to give you five quick reasons this morning. Number one, we're going to do it by faith, not by fear. We're going to do it by faith, not by fear. I'm surprised at how many believers live their lives in fear. Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves we walk by faith, not by fright. We trust God, right? We don't live in fear. Just consider for a moment the world in which Enoch lived. The antediluvian world, the world before the flood. We think we have evil all around us, and we do. But think about what it was like for Enoch to live in that world before the flood. We read a little bit from Genesis chapter 5 a few minutes ago, verses 21 through 24, concerning Enoch's life. And it said there twice, he walked with God. At the very end of that chapter, we're introduced to Noah. But chapter 6 goes on to say, well, it says this in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Excuse me. Sorry, folks at home. I bet you that sounded horrible. Genesis 6, 5 and 6 said, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that the intentions of his heart was only, every intention of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That was Enoch's world. And yet the Bible says he walked with God in the middle of all of that. So much so that God said, Enoch, come on home. Now do you see how incredible his faith must have been and why I said it towered above the times and circumstances in which he lived? We don't know what's ahead for us in 2021, but we know we don't have to be afraid, right? I've told you before, the most often repeated command in Scripture from beginning to end is fear not. Fear not. God's saying, I got this. Not going to be easy, but I'm here. I've got this. I love what is said in Isaiah chapter 41. The difficult times God's people were facing, scary times, much scarier than we're facing. It says in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, God speaking through Isaiah says, fear not, for I am with you. I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. We can claim that promise too, right? So, how are we going to face 2021? Well, first, we're going to face it by faith, not by fear. Secondly, we're going to face it by fellowship, not by folly. We're going to approach it and attack it by fellowship, not by folly. As we've already said, not much is said in Scripture about Enoch. But the one thing that is indisputable about the life of Enoch, as I said, is that he walked with God. He walked with God. Now, let me just pause for a minute here and highlight the obvious. Do you realize that you've been granted a personal invitation into an intimate relationship with Almighty God. Do you understand that? He wants to work in your life and through you. He wants you to come to Him in prayer. And when you bow in prayer, it isn't just some meaningless repetition to some hopeful, pie-in-the-sky, benevolent grandfather God. It's Almighty God. And we're invited into that relationship. The one who knows you better than you know you. The one who knows everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said, every thought you've ever had, every motive you've ever had. The one who created you and knows everything about you completely says, come to me. Come to me. We have the privilege to walk with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Why would we not do that? Right? Why would we not do that? So many people, professing Christians, live their lives for the folly, the foolishness of this world, even though we're told in 1 John 2:17 that it's all going away. It's all going away. It may not be easy at times to maintain this fellowship, but let me just ask you this, knowing what you know already about Enoch. Would you rather be Enoch or anybody else that lived in that world? We have that opportunity now to walk with God. And in 2021, if we're going to face the challenges, if we're going to forge our faith, we need to do it by faith, not by fear, but we need to do it by fellowship, not folly, not foolishness. Fellowship not only with God, but with each other. We have this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful church body, don't we? Our church family. God created the church for our own good, for believers to have a time and a place and a purpose, protection, worship, created by God for us. And that's why we're still meeting. That's why we've been meeting all along. God said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We come together to worship Him. In this day and age, we have the privilege of having many join us live stream who can't be here. We aren't comfortable with that yet, but we don't live by the foolishness of this world or the fear of this world. We live by faith and by fellowship. Thirdly, we're going to do it by following, not freelancing. We're going to do it by following, not freelancing. That means we don't just enjoy our relationship with Him. We have our time, hopefully, when we get together with our Bible and spend some time alone with God and refresh our soul, study His Word, apply His Word. But it would be foolish to close the Bible and walk away and not do anything about that. You see, we have a responsibility to follow wherever God leads, don't we? So we're going to do this. We're going to face this year by faith, not by fear, by fellowship, not by foolishness, but by following, not freelancing. Some people claiming to be believers just sort of live their lives the way they want to live. I call it freelancing. They go through lives not thinking about God until something bad happens. Or it's time to go to church on Sunday. And if they got nothing else going, they'll do that. You want to be successful facing the challenges ahead of you? Follow. That's what we're designed to do. In fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, and verse 23, He said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. 2021 is going to throw curveballs at us. But we don't need to know where it's headed if we know who's leading, right? And that's why we follow Him. Fourthly, we're going to do this by forewarning, not forsaking. forewarning, not forsake. We're going to share our faith. That's what Enoch did. The third place he's mentioned in Scripture is in the little book of Jude, second to the last book in Scripture. Excuse me again. And really, it's the book of Jude is an amazing little book. Jude's the half-brother of Jesus Christ, and he wants to write this book. God's put it on his heart to do it, so he sits down, pen in hand, and he says, I'm going to write about this awesome salvation that we can share, that we have, that we can bask in and through Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit had other plans and redirected him, and he said, instead of writing about our common salvation, I need to write for you to earnestly defend the faith that's been given, because there's bad guys among us. False teachers, false prophets, spreading false doctrine. And that's the purpose of the book. But if you skip down to Jude verses 14 and 15, there's only one chapter in that book. Jude verses 14 and 15, it says this about Enoch. It was also about these, the guys I just mentioned, the bad guys, verses 3 and 4. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Watch this. This is amazing. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, quote, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and convict all the ungodly of all their deeds and of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Did you catch that? There's some really, really amazing stuff here. This person from antiquity, the seventh from Adam, is talking about the return of Jesus Christ and his holy ones. That's us. Did you get that? We've talked about that before, Revelation 19. How did he know that? He walked with God. He walked with God. He had obviously some sort of special revelation. God revealed it to him somehow, but he knew about that. Just amazing to me. And people that don't know the Lord, don't trust God, they don't have a clue about this stuff. It's child's play for God. He can reveal to Enoch, the seventh from Adam, what's going to happen thousands of years later. And Enoch forewarned those around him. He didn't forsake the message God gave, the responsibility God gave to share his faith. He preached. It says here, he prophesied saying, Behold. And then we read it. I told you earlier, there is much said of Enoch outside Scripture. In the Apocrypha and the Pseudepigrapha. And something amazing happens here in Jude. Jude, the author, quotes one of these non-scriptural books, the book of Enoch, and his testimony to a wicked world. I'm going to read to you a little bit from the book of Enoch. Would that be okay? I'm going to put my glasses on, fair warning. Because it's in like 6 point. This from the book of Enoch. The words of blessing of Enoch, wherewith he blessed the elect and the righteous who will be living in the day of tribulation, when all the wicked and godless are to be removed. And he took up his parable and said, Enoch, a righteous man, whose eyes were opened to God, saw the vision of the Holy One in the heavens, which the angels showed me. And from them I heard everything, and from them I understood as I saw. But not for this generation, but for a remote one, which is far to come. Concerning the elect, I said, I took up my parable concerning them. The Holy and Great One will come forth from his dwelling, and the Eternal God will tread upon the earth, even Mount Sinai, and appear in the strength of his might from the heaven of heavens. And all shall be smitten with fear, and the watchers shall quake. And the fear and trembling shall seize them to the ends of the earth, and the high mountains shall be shaken, and the high hills shall be made low, and shall melt like wax before him, and all the earth to wholly rent in sunder. And all upon the earth shall perish, and there should be judgment upon all men. But with the righteous he will make peace, and he will protect the elect, and mercy shall be upon them, and they shall all belong to God, and they shall all prosper, and shall all be blessed, and he will help them all. And a light shall appear to them, and he will make peace with them. Isn't that amazing? You can do this. It is amazing. Enoch walked with God. God gave him this information, this responsibility to share his faith. And he did par excellence. Until God said, "That's enough, Enoch. Come on home." We're going to face the challenges of 2021. And there are lots of people that are going to live in fear and in folly. But not us. We're going to forewarn, not forsake the message that's been given. Finally, number five. How are we going to do this? We're going to do this by finishing, not fainting. We're going to stay faithful till God calls us home, just like he did Enoch. Enoch had his own private rapture. What if 2021 is the year we get to be raptured? Yeah, that would be, oh man, even so, Lord, come quickly. I'm ready to leave all this behind, aren't you? I am so ready. But anyway, he chooses, we want to finish well, right? So we're gonna face 21 by finishing, not fainting, not fading. Galatians 6:9 says, "In due season you'll reap if you faint not." Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I fought a good fight and finished the race and kept the faith." How are we going to face the challenges of 2021? By faith, not fear. By fellowship, not folly. By following, not freelancing. By forewarning, not forsaking, and by finishing, not fainting. And at the end of 2021, if you're called before the judge and hear the words, "Present your faith," what will your forged faith look like? You have the opportunity now to choose that. Your time starts right now. It's going to take two things, a decision and discipline, right? But the choice is ours, the privilege is ours, so that when we're asked to present our faith, it's a beautiful thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us. We are so blessed. Even amidst all the craziness and chaos of this world, there is a peace and a calm only through you. I just pray that you would work in each of our hearts now, those here, those watching live stream, those on sermon audio and any other way they get this. Just use your word and your spirit to go forth. Open hearts, open minds, open doors. Help us, Lord, to be aware that the challenges we face this year, every year, are opportunities to forge our faith into weapons that defeat our enemy, circumstances, our temptations, and all the rest. So I commit all of this to you for your honor and for your glory and for your work in each of our hearts. And I pray it in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.